Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Oh.
We'll start waiting until the truck's out.
Should we?
I think we should just go with it.
The garbage truck's gone.
Mediocrity, episode number 23. This is one of our last episodes altogether in the flesh. Mediocrity, part of the Multimedia Men on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, part of BoomstickComics.com. Oh God, I'm Brian Kluger. We're here. We're live. We're queer. We're happy. We're singing. I'm with the amazing, the talented, the hairy beast of a man, Jonathan Atterbury. You're moving in like a week or two. You're going away. You're going to do your stripping in the evenings. What's going on?
Well, that's really what I'm going out there for. I'm going to California to be a stripper.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm so excited. Can you send pictures?
I'm chasing my dreams.
It's not going to be newamericanfitness.net. It's going to be newamericanstripping.net?
Exactly.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Changing the business angle a little bit.
New American pole.
I'm excited. So what's going on in newamericanfitness.net?
Not a whole lot right now. It's kind of just been on the back burner while I'm getting the move all situated. But I've got a few articles that are planned for when I get all settled into the new place.
Are you okay? You just had a stroke there. Oh, my goodness. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. But so that's the plan. Really doing some writing once we get out there. And that's what's going to be going on.
All right. All right. And then across from me are our older and sometimes wiser gentlemen. Jeremy
Mostly
Magert.
Just older, though.
Jeremy Magert, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much, bud.
How's the Jeremy Magert art going? How's the comics? How's
it's
everything?
Going great, man. Just taking some time off for the holidays, hanging out, having fun.
So, and we have a special guest here.
One
of my longest running friends, my best friend in the world, the legendary. How can I say your name? Is it Chris or Christopher?
Call me Christopher.
Christopher August Magert.
Only when you look me in the eyes.
I always look you in the eyes.
True.
You're here. I'm so glad you're in town. You're going to be part of this podcast called Mediocrity, where the show is just, it's okay.
It's not bad.
It's not
good.
It's not terrible.
It's right in the middle.
It's right in the middle. How are you, man?
I feel good.
You feel good?
Better now that you arrived here.
I just need to say that to all the listeners that these two, when talking to each other, are looking at each other like long lost lovers.
Not to mention the fact that he got a way better intro than you and I.
My best friend in the whole world.
I just love you so much.
And just been about 6 inches from each person's face as they're talking.
Yeah. Hey, that's
what
happens.
The tramp over here.
I get to see you guys all the time. I don't get to see this.
It's all right. Should I go get a spaghetti noodle?
Yes, yeah. So we can Lady and the Tramp
some
everything. So you came in from Nashville? Oh, no, wait. Is it Nashville now?
That was Nashville.
Nashville, and you're in. What are you working on? Anything you can tell us?
Yeah, just record and play a bunch of shows, like usual.
All right.
Always writing, always playing.
So you have, I got to tell the audience that, because you've been mentioned on the show before, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love Ace Ventura?
3,000,000%.
And why?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I always say there's certain things in life that will change you. And one of those things for me was Boyz II Men, as probably everybody that. And the other is Ace Ventura, because I was like, that's funny. Like, that's when I first knew. I was like, that's hilarious. And I literally would walk around middle school like I had the Ace Ventura walk.
You know? We all remember that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, I'm glad you're here. You can join us for this episode. And yeah, like, again, Jonathan Atterbury is leaving and moving to California. He's going to live the life of a drifter here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's going to be all over the place. So hopefully wherever he goes, we can all visit him. But we're still going to keep the podcast going. We're still going to keep it up. We have a way to make it sound like we're all in the same room. So we'll still come back every week, and we'll get to hear of Jonathan's, you know,
my stripper adventures.
His stripper adventures, which that'll be a segment. But we have a good show for you today. We're going to talk about, since it's December 1st, we're going to talk about holiday Christmas movies of the horror and sci-fi variety, because there's a lot of pretty cool ones. And then we're also going to
talk... Is there a lot, though? Because you told us about this segment, and I looked up, and there's really not that many. There's like five.
I have written seven down. down. Seven.
But you but they're all like, it's like half his list is Gremlins.
Only one is Gremlins. Only one is Gremlins. We're going to talk about Marvel vs. Capcom, which we probably all played these games when we were growing up, with the fourth one's coming out next year. We're going to talk about Rogue One Star Wars predictions, because that comes out very soon. And then some DC comics, and then, of course, our returning segment, our returning champion segment, Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart. What movies do we want to see them in?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a great one this year. But let's first talk about Christmas, because it is the holiday season. I like getting into this holiday season. I like the festivities and everything. It's giving. So since we talk about a lot of horror movies and a lot of sci-fi movies, what are some movies that we suggest to our listeners to watch this holiday season that are of this...
Of horror and sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yes. Christmas Story and Christmas Vacation, we are all going to watch that. A Wonderful Life. Not on this podcast.
Okay.
So, yeah, go for it. I am very curious.
So my list is really short, because there's really only like three horror movies that could even be classified as horror or sci-fi that work for Christmas for me.
Okay.
And number one, I'm going to say Edward Scissorhands.
Was that a Christmas movie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Johnny Depp.
He makes it snow with his little thing in the ice sculptures.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll give it Nightmare to you. Before Christmas.
It's a great one. I love
and
that.
And Krampus.
Oh, Krampus.
Yeah.
That's the one that just came out.
Is it Krampus or Krampus?
How do you say it?
I say Krampus.
I say Krampus. It's the way you talk. No, Krampus. That just came out. That's a horror movie.
Yeah, I thought Krampus was fantastic.
But Nightmare Before Christmas is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, that's an all-time great movie. But honestly, like, when I first saw the trailer for Krampus, I was like, this looks like it could be awful. And then I watched it, and I thought it was fantastic. I loved it.
All right. So, well, good.
Yeah, it's a really
fun
one.
It has two Tim Burton-esque movies.
Well, there's actually two Tim Burton movies.
Well, he didn't direct Nightmare Before Christmas. He produced it.
Well, still. It's obviously a Tim Burton
movie. It is definitely a Tim Burton movie.
That one doesn't hold up for me.
No, Nightmare Before, really?
Yeah. Oh,
there's like a whole like movement for the movie. People dress up like Jack Skellington.
That's fine.
Paul Rubens was one of the voices in that movie, one of the kids.
Yes.
Oh, hello, Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
What about you, Jeremy?
He's upset about your Night Before Christmas.
Yeah, he was. He got mad.
This is baloney.
It happens.
Shut up.
What about you?
Oh, man. Christmas, I just Scrooged.
Scrooge?
That's all I need.
Is that a horror movie?
It's got ghosts.
Oh, God, I love that movie so much.
It's not horror, but it's got ghosts.
That's one of the all-time...
That's the problem with this topic, though. You have to be willing to give a little bit.
Well, we're talking ghosts, there's a whole bunch more stuff we can do.
It's the holidays.
But Christmas movies, like even... Christmas Carol has the ghosts of Christmas past and present and future, just like Scrooge, which, if you didn't know, Jonathan Atterbury hates Bill Murray.
Are you... What is wrong with you?
Exactly. We do not know this. Yeah. Where's the bark? We don't know, because you don't like Bill Murray. So do you like that movie?
You don't like Ghostbusters?
Do I like Scrooged?
Yeah.
No, I don't like Scrooged.
Do you like Ghostbusters?
Not really.
It's weird. We've had a conversation on the podcast forever. We don't know why he doesn't like Bill Murray.
I watched Scrooge about, I think, last Christmas, actually. Because I was like, okay, I'm going to give this movie another shot. And like, I was just forcing myself to get through it.
You don't want to put a little love in your heart?
No.
And the world will be a bit.
So awesome.
He is so good. What about you, Chris?
Well, given the other, you know, the given Christmas movies for me, and these aren't sci-fi, but it's Ernest Saves Christmas and Die Hard.
And Die Hard?
Yeah.
All right.
That's got to be the two best.
I would say Die Hard is definitely up there. I mean, it's not a horror movie or sci-fi, but it is definitely a hardcore action movie.
If we're going to expand it like that.
Yeah, if we're talking Die Hard.
All right, all right. If we're going to expand it, then I'm going to put Batman Returns on the list.
That was one of the... That was a really cool opening Christmas scene with all the weird clowns and everything jumping around.
This movie.
That is a Christmas movie. And I said it on the radio show today, I think my favorite Christmas movie is Eyes Wide Shut. I just, it's embodies the spirit of Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like getting naked.
But for as far as horror stuff goes, I've got Silent Night, Deadly Night, which is from 1984, about a crazy, ridiculous teenager.
That movie is so bad.
It's so good, though. Goes on a killing spree, addresses Santa. Gremlins, of course. Black Christmas from 1974. Rare Exports from 2010. If you've never seen that movie is awesome. About like a Santa's not who you think he is.
It's the Finnish movie, right?
Yes. Rare Exports, really good. I reviewed this movie. It's called To All a Good Night, and it is probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen of a low budget. takes place over winter break at a college, and some of the an all girls college, and some of the guys that they like stay there for the holiday. And there's a guy in like just like a plastic Santa mask going around killing people, and it is it's literally so bad that the effects there's no really no effects. Like at the very end, somebody gets chopped up by a propeller blade in a plane, and instead of actually they didn't have enough money for fake blood, so they put red construction paper in water, and that was that. And it is so visible on high def, it's so good, but wow. So terrible. To All a Good Night, and of course Nightmare Before Christmas. But yeah, these are some of the movies you can watch. Love, oh, we'll mention Love Actually. I like
that. I mean, there's so many great Christmas movies, but that's not
what But these are like the out of the norm. I'll put Eyes Wide Shut in there.
That's not sci-fi or horror.
It is kind of horror.
It's a thriller.
It is a good movie, though. But yeah.
There's no horror elements in it.
And I'm glad you said Ernest Saves Christmas, because that's one of the all-time greats. We actually might have seen that in the theater together.
Yeah, probably did.
Ernest Saves Christmas. But yeah, this is the spirit of the holidays. But let's move on. Let's move on to Marvel versus Capcom 4. Did this start back in the late 90s with X-Men versus Street Fighter?
This really takes most of its... I think the real genesis of this series began with X-Men Children of the Atom, which was an arcade game, and I think it was PlayStation and Sega Saturn.
Whoa, my God, Sega Saturn? Wow. Did anybody at this table have a Sega Saturn? I did not have a Sega Saturn.
You had all of everything.
If I did have Sega Saturn, I don't remember it.
But so that was the real straight up fighting game that was just with the Marvel characters and just X-Men characters, really.
With Street Fighter.
No.
Oh no, just
Children
X-Men.
Of the Atom was just X-Men. Okay. And X-Men characters, heroes, and villains.
Okay, then so when did it move to the Street Fighter and the Marvel people?
Well, so that's Marvel versus Capcom.
Okay.
That's what the first one was when they first, the first time, because Street Fighter is a Capcom entity.
Right.
So that was the first time they were like, okay, cool, let's just mash these together. And I think that first one, I want to say, you know, I honestly don't know what year it came out in, but it was Marvel versus Capcom 1, and then it was just, they've been doing sequels
it was
to that
long.
Ever
so
since.
The fourth one's supposed to come out next year, and now since Disney owns Marvel, and there's this whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, what characters should they put in to this fourth game?
Well, what I'm expecting is that we're going to see a lot from the Marvel movie universe.
So do you think we'll get like all of the Guardians of the Galaxy in there?
I would not be surprised if we had Groot, if we had, you know, Hawkeye and Black Widow and Iron Man, War Machine, characters like that. I am expecting that, you know, even
Agent Coulson,
Peter Quill, who knows? Oh, they might do Luke Cage. They might do the TV characters too.
Jessica
that would be
Jones.
Amazing.
That would be cool.
But what I think we shouldn't expect is the X-Men characters.
Well, okay, because they're still by Fox.
Yeah, which is a shame.
So you won't get Wolverine,
Every Marvel vs. Capcom game ever, we've had Cyclops, Wolverine, and Spider-Man. And I would be surprised if we got Cyclops and Wolverine. Maybe Spider-Man, because...
Well, Spider-Man is now part of Marvel and Disney.
I don't think they're going to take characters away. I would be really surprised if you didn't have access... Because, like, the main reason that a lot of people played that was because you could play Wolverine in a fighting game.
Right.
I'd be really surprised if there was no.
There might not be.
They'd have to get that bridge built. You know what I mean? Because
yeah, but they most likely already have that license though.
They don't because they actually
they don't have
had
the license.
So as far as I know, that's why Marvel vs. Capcom you can't download it anymore. You can't get any DLC. They had to pull all DLC because they lost the right to keep using those characters once Disney bought it. So, as far as I know, that's why they've had to wipe out all of their stuff that they have online now.
So, in playing these games over the years, do you usually go to Street Fighter characters or to Marvel characters?
Always Marvel.
Yeah, Sam. Yeah. You're Wolverine. If you can be Wolverine, you're Wolverine.
So, you know, screw Blanca, what's his name? Or...
Blanca,
yeah. Clearly,
anybody had
clearly he did his research.
Because
screw Blanca.
One of those guys.
He's electricity, right?
No, he was the monster guy.
The green guy, right?
Yeah, he was the monster. And when he jumped on their back, he could electrocute them.
Yeah, electric guy. Mine.
Yeah, electric guy. Cool.
Mine. Not, I'm not having.
Either you're Ryu or Guile, you know.
Or Guile
or Ryu
for the win.
Or Ken.
Yeah.
Ken's poor man's Ryu.
So always Marvel because they have all the
it's stuff. Just, I mean, for me, it's so much more fun. I think it's just, you know, if you can be Iron Man or Captain America or Wolverine, or you can be a guy doing karate, I think it's an easy choice.
A karate with like, you know, the Hulk and
yeah, that
would,
War, War Machine destroys that.
Yep.
Really?
The Hulk destroys that.
I don't know about this. Because
if
I think
you're going to start introducing, you know, Goofy.
Like that. Disney Goofy and
I'm just saying, like, he's like, and then he like gets you or something.
He slips on a banana peel and it like blocks everything.
So Marvel versus Capcom versus Disney.
Yeah,
they're not the same thing. But now, but see now, like, do you think Howard the Duck will show up in this?
Who knows?
I mean, how badass, or like there'll be a secret character of what's the guy who runs Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Feige? Kevin Feige?
Yeah, what if he's a character?
I don't think so.
I think you're reaching on that one.
You think I'm Deadpool?
I think you could maybe have Deadpool. What, unless though, but that's also a Fox movie property.
But Deadpool has been in it historically, but he might not be now.
But I mean, it just depends on how they want to do it, because there are even like mobile games that have access to the whole Marvel universe, whether it's Marvel Cinematic or like the Fox side, you know.
Yeah, so it's hard to say.
It just depends on how they, you know.
So who owns all? What if there was a game that was like Inspector Gadget versus Darkwing Duck versus like 90s
cartoons
versus Chippendale, you know?
Well, I like.
So Nickelodeon actually just made a online fighter game, basically. It's terrible. It's a little online app that you can download, and you can be like SpongeBob versus other Nickelodeon cartoon characters.
Really? Like Jimmy Neutron?
Yeah, stuff
like
that.
Oh my goodness. Now, this is a good idea, because I think Darkwing might actually be a Disney property. But I don't think Inspector Gadget is. So
someone needs to acquire Inspector Gadget. They need to inspect the deal and make the deal happen. Go Gadget arm needs to happen.
Well, Netflix did an Inspector Gadget series, so if Disney ends
is
up
about
buying,
to buy
if
Netflix.
If Disney does buy Netflix, then who knows?
Your
I don't know.
Dream,
I don't know. I don't know if they
totally play that.
Okay, so
if
you
can be Darkwing Duck. I'm getting dangerous. Let's do it.
So you have DC and Mortal Kombat, you have Marvel and Capcom, and then maybe this is like the road to like something else, that like the 90s cartoons battle each other.
Yes, you'd have like Disney cartoons versus Nickelodeon cartoons.
Or something like, I'm trying to think, like Halo Chiefs fight, you know, Disney characters or something like that.
Who knows?
Oh my gosh. So that's pretty cool, but I think a lot of people have been looking for this Marvel vs. Capcom because of this whole Marvel Cinematic Universe that has come.
Right.
I think there will be a lot of pretty cool tie-ins or things you can do. Because like the DC and Mortal Kombat game, you could play as Alien from Aliens. You could put
Wasn't DC versus Mortal. That was just the Mortal Kombat.
Oh, this is the Mortal Kombat. So you can play as Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees.
Not Freddy Krueger. You could be Jason Voorhees. You could
Predator.
Be Predator. You could be the Xenomorph, and you could be Leatherface.
Okay, Leatherface. Yeah. So I mean, that's really weird, like just
yeah,
like all in there. So there might be something like that in here.
Honestly, probably they'll just do Marvel characters and Capcom characters. I think there's enough to work with.
You
in
think
there.
So?
Yeah. Why would they do like Marvel vs. Capcom and then throw in, you know, the Ghostbusters characters? I don't know.
Why not? They should put Bill Murray in there for you.
That's my nightmare.
I could see them adding the Guardians in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Ant-Man also.
Anything from the Marvel universe that's relevant, I think that they would absolutely do.
That would, oh my god, play as Ant-Man? Oh, there's just so many things you could do with that.
You'll probably get the various other, like the Miles Morales Spider-Man, and you'll probably get some Spider-Gwen, and
hopefully
Silk will probably also be in there.
I want a giant roster, because last time, so what they did with Marvel vs. Capcom 3 was a bunch of baloney.
Yeah, that sucked.
What happened with that? Because I remember playing that a little bit.
Oh, he was so pissed.
So pissed, because I love the Marvel vs. Capcom games. I've been super into them since they were on PlayStation 1 back in the day, right?
Wow.
But they released Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and I was really, really, really excited about it. I bought it immediately, and then later on, so they, you know, you'd expect a game like that, you would have DLC with new characters and stuff like this. However, instead of releasing DLC, they put out a second, like a B version of the game.
Like 2.5?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
so they did
awful.
A 2.5, and that was the only way you could get access to two shitty new characters.
Oh, that sucks.
You had to buy the whole game.
You had to buy a whole game for $40.
It was $40 for 0.5?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
There was no DLC. They just were like, we're going to boost the graphics a bit and put in two shitty characters. I think it was Hawkeye and Shuma-Gorath or something terrible like
that.
Who
is that?
I don't even know. It's some character from the Doctor Strange universe.
All right. Well, maybe he'll be... Well. Hopefully they don't do that. Hopefully they learn their lesson. They're like, okay, there's $3.99 for DLC.
Yeah, there was
like
a lot of backlash on that.
Well, maybe they'll learn their lesson.
Yeah.
Marvel vs. Capcom 4 coming out sometime in 2017.
Has it been confirmed for 2000? They haven't even announced it yet.
It is. Well, I guess they haven't made an official announcement, but that
so far it's just leaked sources saying that they're probably going to announce it at the next convention.
Yeah, but they say it's going to come out in 2017.
They.
But here's hoping. And hoping to Christopher's suggestion that we have a Darkwing Duck
Inspector. That's 2018. It's just been confirmed.
It has just been Brian confirmed Kluger. Right here.
The same source.
On Mediocrity. Yeah, same source. Here you go. All right.
You know, there's a shocking deficit of Darkwing Duck video games. Are there any?
I couldn't agree.
There was a long time ago. It was just like a side-scroller.
Really? Because I definitely remember DuckTales stuff, mm-hmm. but I don't remember. I'm trying to remember Darkwing Duck. I
remember a Darkwing Duck game.
Oh,
you guys talk amongst yourselves.
You're going to look this up? Because if there's a Darkwing learning. Duck game that I can play on one of my systems right now, that's what's going to happen this weekend.
Consider it ordered.
Consider it
You're
going to
look
purchased.
It up and find out that it's on that Xbox that's modded that's sitting behind you.
Yeah. We are stopping this podcast.
And this podcast is over.
And we're going to live podcast us playing Darkwing Duck.
Oh, shit. There is an NES Darkwing Duck video game. So it's probably on there.
I'm speechless right now. It's very rare.
Yeah,
but oh, God.
NES, it was a side-scroller platformer, kind of in the vein of the Batman game that there was or something like that. Yeah, it's Darkwing Duck.
All right.
It's a thing.
It's like a Christmas miracle. Yeah.
I've heard
that
of those.
Already came true.
I've heard of those.
You've heard of those?
Yeah.
All right.
Christmas miracle from 1989.
Awesome. So, yeah, we'll update you more on Marvel vs. Capcom once they officially announce characters, and we'll discuss that. But we'll move on to a big movie coming out called... it's a little movie coming out.
It's not a big movie.
It's something...
Few people might have heard of it.
Is it Star Trek?
I think so.
No, Star Wars.
Stargate.
Star Wars Rogue One is finally coming out this month. We're here. We're going to see it. What are your predictions? Do you think it's going to do better than the biggest box office gross movie in the world, which is Star Wars Force Awakens?
I don't think it's going to beat Awakens.
Why?
I just think that since it's a removed story and it's PG-13, right?
Right.
So I think it's going to be probably less people.
Force Awakens, wasn't it?
Was it the PG-13? I don't remember.
I don't know.
But I have a feeling that this one's going to be a little bit more adult in nature. It seems like it's a darker movie. Seems like, I think a lot of people are just going to be like, oh yeah, it's a Star Wars movie, but it's like, you know, the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is to Harry Potter.
Right, but I think more so for Rogue One, I think this is like literally going to lead up to the crawl of episode 4.
That, but yes. The average person doesn't.
I do think everybody knows that. I think all the trailers and TV spots people know that like this is what happens right before
episode 4.
Well, I don't think we don't know that. We don't know if that's where it's going to end. Like, it could go further into
They have that. Said that it's going it, to end it, right at the beginning of A New Hope.
They've officially said that.
Okay. So I think we're pretty safe on that. But I think that that's where they're going with that.
But I mean,
it's a standalone movie, too.
I don't think that it's going to be as big.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't
so
think
So you don't
that.
Think it's going to...
Because, I mean, you don't have Han Solo.
Or
you don't,
Luke.
You don't have...
Or anything. Darth Vader, but...
You got Darth Vader, but we don't really know how much. You know, you don't have the nostalgia factor, which was so heavily marketed.
See, I think you do have a nostalgia factor here because you do. It's going to be filmed like the originals, not like the new digital one. Gonna
I
have
feel,
all the practical effects.
Do you think that the marketing has been on par with what they were doing for Episode 8?
I don't think so.
See, I don't feel
it's
that
very
either.
Different because nothing's going to compare to that because that was the first time we've seen a Star Wars movie like that with all the old characters since 83.
Yes,
and with the horrific. I know you're the only two people that like episodes 1, 2, and 3.
We're not. We're
you
really
are
not.
The only ones.
We're just the only ones at the table that didn't form our opinion based on what we read on the internet.
Oh no, I saw episodes 1, 2, and 3 in the theater, unfortunately.
You called me on the phone after you got out of Revenge of the Sith, and I was like, how is it? And you were like, oh my god, it's so good. It's like George Lucas didn't even direct it. Those were your exact words.
I want to
exact
transcript
words. And then later you were like, I didn't like it because why is high ground more powerful than the dark side?
The third one
and I was
like,
where
better,
on the internet did you
but
read that?
It definitely wasn't good.
It's
I want
so
a transcript
good.
Of that.
It's right. So good. I'm giving you the transcript right now.
Yeah. Maybe that was like my theater goggles, and I was real excited. I was waiting for
theater
it.
Theater goggles,
like,
whatever.
It's like that's a thing. Like you go see the midnight showing, and I actually it might have been L.A. that I was at.
Is that. Are theater goggles just your opinion until you've heard other people's opinions?
Yep. No, I've seen it. I don't even own them.
Absolutely.
Bro, I do not like episodes 1, 2, and 3. You're the only two that like them. But Rogue One, I think it's going to make... I'm going to say this right now. I think it'll make more money than Force Awakens.
So we'll, opening okay, let's weekend. Record that opening major.
Weekend. Opening weekend, it'll make more money.
I think I'm going to disagree with that bet. I'm gonna say it's their end.
Want to do a bet?
Sure. What's the wages here?
What are the wages? I don't know.
I would like to point out that he's betting about Star Wars against two people that know everything
this
about Star Wars.
The fucking guy yeah. that thought Snoke was Mace Windu.
Oh, I know, right?
That was a theory.
You brought it to the table.
I did.
Because the red lightsaber and the blue lightsaber together make purple.
That's a good theory, right? They make purple. It's Mace Windu. We didn't see him die in that horrible episode 3.
Chris didn't see him die because he probably never saw the movie.
I definitely didn't see him die.
He doesn't know what we're talking about.
He knows. He knows Jack. What the hell is
Mace Windu? Yeah.
You see him kind of fall out of a window and that's it. He's not dead. Did you see Force Awakens, Chris?
No.
So you've only seen like the original Star Wars. Do you plan on seeing Rogue One?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I probably will.
All right. I mean, it's the prequel to coming up to this, and I think it's going to make more money, and I think there's going to be a very emotional heft to it that we haven't seen before.
It doesn't get much more emotional than Episode 7. Man, that was pretty rough. I was like affected for days.
With what? What happened?
When Han Solo died.
Spoiler.
Yeah, well, everyone knows that already.
Hey, it was coming. We knew that was happening.
Yes. I expected it, but I still wasn't ready for it.
All right.
Well, I don't think
I was
I'm
there.
Over it
he
yet.
Was emotional.
Crying. All right.
I held
so,
him. He wept like a baby.
So I do think Rogue One is going to make more money opening weekend. I don't know if it'll make as much money in the long run, but I might think it make more money than opening weekend.
Okay, that's fair.
We'll see how that turns out. All right, so DC, the DC universe, not Marvel. So we're talking Batman, Superman, Supergirl, Arrow, Flash. I guess was it on Supergirl? They had a crossover, right?
Well, this week they have 4 shows on the CW. They've got Supergirl, The Flash, Green Arrow, and
What is the other one? No, it's not.
I can't think of the name. I only watched like 2 episodes first season and then was like, I'm out.
Okay. Oh, was it Legends of Tomorrow?
That's the one.
That's right.
And so I guess there's an alien invasion and it's going to tie in through all 4 shows. And they did Supergirl, and I haven't watched The Flash yet, but the Supergirl episode wasn't really much of a crossover because it was like, Barry does this like little dimensional traveling thing where like a bubble will open and then he'll like pop out of it. And you see a bubble open over the Thanksgiving dinner table with Supergirl and her family, and then nothing happens. But then at the end of the episode, he just pops out, and she's in her apartment. She's like, "Oh, hey,
okay."
And that's the extent of the crossover.
So that's a dumb crossover.
That's the extent of the crossover on Supergirl, and he appears because he helped her when they did a crossover the previous season.
Okay.
And so he's basically shows up, and he's like, "Hey, you remember when you said that if I ever needed your help, you would do it?" Yeah, I need your help now. And
that's one thing DC, I think, does wrong, I think, because they have...
The one thing?
Well, the one of many things is that Marvel uses the same characters from their TV in their movies, whereas DC, you have a different Flash and a different Superman. So it just kind of gets
and
confusing.
There's just a marked difference in how good they are. So they have, like, crappy Flash and good Flash. And, yeah. You know,
well,
everything. Crappy
yeah.
Superman, good Superman.
I don't know. To me, I don't mind that they're different universes types of thing. Because for me, it's not terribly different than reading a comic where you'll have like a few different Batman comics.
Yeah.
And they're written and drawn by different people. And so they're not exactly the same. So, I'm kind of okay with it not being the shared universe. But, you know, to me, the quality of the writing thing is what drives me the most nuts.
Yeah, that's why I can't do it. I've tried to watch Arrow and tried Flash and I haven't tried Supergirl yet, but... it's because of how much I hated Arrow and The Flash.
I liked the first 2 seasons of Arrow.
Yeah, I did too.
I did, and I liked Flash.
Flash is, in my opinion, still the best show of all of them.
Yeah, I think they've had the best writing and storylines. But now it's just Arrow. I feel like with so many shows, I think that they just get lazy and tired. Like, okay, We're just going to throw this in here and see what happens.
For me, it's just like, it's drama for the sake of drama, where you would run into it on Legends of Tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
where all of a sudden, for drama, characters just start arguing and fighting for no reason, and you're like, it's like, where it is, like, why is this even happening?
It's like Aqua Teen Hunger Force. yeah, no, I totally get that. And then Kevin Smith, the guy who directed Clerks, Mallrats,
yeah,
Chasing
he
Amy,
had
Dogma,
his Flash episode.
He
there.
Directed the Flash, which yeah. is pretty cool. Did you watch it?
I did.
And how was it?
It was pretty good. You know, it's funny because for a dude that's not known for doing very emotionally heavy stuff, you know, usually largely all comedy movies.
Have you seen Chasing Amy?
I have.
That scene where Ben Affleck is
like,
crying?
That's the one exception.
In the rain?
But I like all of his Flash episodes are all like the super like most emotional ones of the season. All
right.
So
that's cool. I'm glad he's doing that.
Very effects driven too, which he doesn't normally get to do either unless it's like dildo bong sabers from.
But I mean, really, so Kevin Smith cries a lot. It's not just his character,
no.
Solid Bob. That
I know
cries a lot.
He cries a lot, but like his movies, you know.
But I mean, like, I think he's a really sensitive guy.
He is. I made him cry in the interview I did with him.
I think he cries for everything.
No, he did. I asked him what his favorite scene from a movie was, and he said it was the last scene in World According to Garp, and he like started to tear up right there. I'm like, wow. So he's like, passionate. That's passion right there.
Yes, exactly. I just feel like I just need Jay Muse behind him to make fun of him every time he cries.
Yes, I agree. But I'm glad seeing Kevin Smith, because Kevin Smith several years ago said he was retiring from filmmaking, which was total BS. And right. I don't believe anything. So it's same thing, like Tarantino said he's retiring after 10 movies. That's not going to happen.
Have you guys seen Yoga Hosers yet?
No, I want to.
It's out right now.
I haven't
gotten around to it yet.
I have not seen it. The last one I saw was Tusk, and I really liked it.
It took me about a year and a half to watch Tusk after
it
came
it.
Out.
I liked it. I like all of Kevin Smith's
Tusk
movies.
Was good. The one I did not like was Red State.
See, I loved Red State.
I thought Red State was a piece of shit.
It
was
I loved
so
it.
Bad.
That was like a very different movie for him, too. Very
it was.
Violent action movie. But I'm glad he's getting back into his comic book thing, because I think at one point he was going to do the Green Lantern, and he got out of that.
I don't know about that.
No, was it Green Lantern or Green? No, well, the Superman story, yes, but no, I think he was offered Green Lantern.
Really? Okay.
And he turned it down. Hmm. Like I didn't think he wanted like that $150 million budget.
Right.
And he didn't want to, you know, be the butt of the internet like he almost always is.
I love Kevin Smith. I
do
just
too.
Like,
I'm
a huge fan of his work. I just want another Jay and Silent Bob movie.
You're getting a Mallrats TV series.
No,
and you're getting
I want a Jay and Silent Bob movie part, like a Strike
Back. Oh, Jay and Silent Bob
two.
Strike Pack 2. You're yeah. getting Clerks 3 and Mallrats.
Not the same.
It's not the same.
Totally not the same. Right. Clerks, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is probably my favorite Kevin Smith movie.
All right. Well, I mean, it's good.
Marvel's working on him, though, a little bit, because on Fat Man on Batman, he mentioned that Jeff Loeb, the guy that runs all the Marvel television, actually approached him about doing writing on the Iron Fist Netflix show.
Oh.
But he turned it down.
That's yeah. such a shame.
I know. I was like, because it would be great if you just, like, gave Kevin Smith, like, even, like, to let him direct, like, a Marvel movie, you know,
yeah.
where he'll have, like, the kind of, like, Marvel supervision and all those dudes working. I think he'd make a great movie.
I hope so. I would hope so.
I feel like he would write for Deadpool really well.
Sure he would.
Because he gets the pop culture references. And, you know, if you basically just put Ryan Reynolds, give him Jason Mewes lines.
Mm-hmm. But Ryan Reynolds is very into that Deadpool character. And you have to, like, he's, I think, top brass of that. He, like, got rid of the last director.
Oh, yeah. I think that he's really keeping it control, which is good. Yeah. I'm glad to see that. It's someone that passionate about that needs to be in charge.
That is good. That
someone
is
that
good.
Loves the shit out of the character.
Yep.
So let's before we move on to our Dwayne and Kevin stuff, let's talk, since we're in the holiday spirit again, let's talk about our favorite holiday songs.
Okay.
All right. What holiday songs come to
you
mind?
You mean specific recordings or like just,
Yeah, okay. Recordings and songs that you really like to hear during the holiday season.
Okay. Well, I've actually been working on a playlist.
Oh,
that I can
yeah.
share on our
please
Twitter
do.
Page because every time I listen to a Christmas station, they
yeah.
play so much junk on there also. Because there is such a wide spectrum. There's some great Christmas music, there's some okay stuff, and then there's a lot of really bad stuff. So I've been kind of going through and cherry-picking my favorite albums and making a playlist out of these.
Okay, so what are they? What are some of them?
My number one Christmas album is always going to be A Christmas Gift from Phil Spector.
Oh, that, the guy who's in jail.
Yes, to me, his Christmas album is where it's at.
Yes. Wow, all right.
Such a great album. And I also, I'm a huge fan of the She and Him Christmas albums.
I like the She and Him Christmas albums.
Those are good.
It's the perfect mix of just being kind of, you know, got that Carpenter type sappy vibe to it, but, yeah. but enough so it doesn't sound so corny because you've got that great M. Ward production in there.
Do you like her?
Yeah, oh yeah, I think she's a great singer.
All right. Curious about that. Chris, what about you? Since you're kind of in the biz.
I'll let you guess what my favorite Christmas album is.
Jackson 5 Christmas?
Boys to Men Christmas Interpretation. No, I like a handful of stuff, but yeah, I mean, I love, I mean, I do like a lot of the older stuff. Got so many people that haven't done. I did a song a couple years ago now, called Tell Me What You Want for Christmas. That is literally, so like the whole scene of it is I'm Santa Claus. When I take time off from doing music stuff, I need a part-time job, so I dress up like Santa Claus at the mall. And the whole chorus starts and says, come sit on my lap. And which was funny because for those that know me at all, you know, it's like I do Christian music for the most part. I mean, I do a little bit of everything, but like for the most part. So I was going around last two years, doing Christmas concerts in December and stuff, and I was straight up singing that at all these churches. It's kind of weird, but it's pretty funny.
Why don't you come sit on my lap?
Yeah. Come sit on my lap. Tell me what you want for Christmas.
They could be.
Did you write anything about stroking your candy cane?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. No. Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Missed opportunity right there. Because it could be taken either way there.
Exactly.
Depending on who the listener is,
yes.
Who the audience is. Jeremy. Oh, actually, do you know what his Christmas songs are? Would you know?
I don't think
so. All right.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Does Bon Jovi have a Christmas record?
No, they don't. Because
I would own it.
let's see. Christmas, and Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
All I really need. And then the other thing I'm going to go with is the Love Actually soundtrack.
That is a really good one.
With Bill Nighy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Christmas is all around me. So I feel
greatest
it in
Christmas
my
song
fingers.
Ever.
I feel it in my toes. That is such a good
we
one.
We also can't forget about the Beach Boys Christmas album.
That's oh, yeah.
A damn fine album.
That is a good one. Didn't, what's his name? Chuck Berry do one, Run Run Rudolph?
I don't know if he's got a whole album, but he definitely did Run
that,
Run Rudolph.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Lennon's got a Christmas song. Was that done with the Beatles or was that done post-Beatles?
That's solo Lennon.
Solo Lennon, okay.
Yeah.
So I can remember a second there.
Loretta Lynn actually just put out a new Christmas album that's really good.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. It all just right. came out, I think, this year, and it's excellent.
Okay. Also, Motorhead did a Christmas, either a Christmas album or a few Christmas songs, Motorhead. If you don't know Motorhead, Lemmy, the big boy, he died recently. He is a... Are y'all looking that up?
No, I'm looking up my Christmas playlist.
Okay, alright. I was curious, but I like that one. Run DMC did a Christmas album?
Yes, they did.
Oh my god, it's so amazing. Did Will Smith ever do one?
No.
Did he not? Because he did Halloween stuff, but did he do...
He may have done a song, but I don't know about a song. No. But I think at most, maybe, you know, a one-track album.
What about your Christopher Lee Christmas albums, the metal ones?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
You've heard those?
No.
Oh, you need to...
Like Christopher Lee?
Yeah, dude.
Like Fu Manchu Christopher Lee?
Old, like, 90s singing Christmas songs over metal.
Oh, that's so amazing.
I can't believe you don't know about that.
I do not know about that. How have I not known about that?
Right after we look up Darkwing Duck on the NES over here, then we're going to look up
that. We're going to look that up. All right, so what other ones did you find?
My phone died.
Your phone died.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm trying to think. So, I mean, obviously, the Carpenters Christmas album has to be acknowledged. It's great. We've got the soundtrack for White Christmas with Bing Crosby. That's kind of a staple. Everybody has
Bing Crosby,
to like that
yeah.
album.
Oh, Christmas Vacation. The song Christmas Vacation by Mavis Staples. That is always a good one.
I don't know the one you're talking about.
Do you ever see Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, of course I've seen
it's
that
It's like
movie.
The opening song in the with like the animated Santa.
Oh, okay. I know Christmas what you're talking about now.
Yeah, that one. That's Mavis Staples. She, like, came to Dallas to perform recently.
Nice.
But do you think, like, in artists in general, like musicians, do you think at some point they have to do a Christmas album?
No. I think that it all depends on if you have something unique to contribute to the Christmas album area. because it's been done so many times by so many different artists that I think that it's really only cool or good worth doing if you're going to have something unique about your approach that makes it worth listening
Did
to.
Did Insane Clown Posse ever do a Christmas album?
Oh, God.
Because I'd want to hear that.
I don't.
They never did a Glee really episode don't. Either. I'd like to see the Insane Clown Posse episode of Glee.
Sinatra, of course, his Christmas Sinatra album is really worth listening to.
He did. Did like Tupac ever do his Christmas song?
I don't know.
Or Bone Thugs and Harmony?
Are we just guessing about?
No, I'm trying to remember from like.
Is there a Metallica Christmas album?
Just saying random things.
There might be a Metallica Christmas album.
I don't think there is.
I don't believe there is.
Do you remember the old TV show Tales from the Crypt?
Yes.
The Crypt Keeper did a whole Christmas album, and I have it.
Really?
Oh my God! He did the 12 Days of Christmas.
I'm not surprised about either of those.
So Christmas. Christmas, and it was so
not
funny.
Not Crypt-mas, like Bloods versus Crips.
No, like C R Y P T Miss Christmas, and it was really funny.
I wonder if there's a Crypt-mas album.
Like the gang sign. Yes. I'm not even doing it right. I'm just like throwing up my quotations.
Like a raptor.
Trying to scare a child.
Christmas. I don't even know how to do that. Maybe they do. That would be something to listen to.
That would be.
Oh my goodness. All right. Christmas album. So our final our returning segment. So for those of you who have listened, or this is your first episode listening, we here at the Mediocrity Podcast love Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and Kevin Hart, and they've been in a couple movies together, and they're really good. So we like to come up with movie scenarios or remakes for them to star in. So let's go around the table. And what are you pitching the movie producer today about the new Kevin Hart, Dwayne Johnson movie?
Jeremy, what you got?
I'll let you go first.
My phone's dead. I wrote this down earlier. I had a great idea. My freaking phone's dead.
You don't remember?
I need to charge my phone.
Oh my God.
No, charge your phone.
Coming up with Mediocrity. All right. Yeah, right. Anybody have anything off the top of their head?
Chris, did you come up with anything?
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys with... it's basically going to be the same movie.
Yeah, exactly. It was great the first time.
It was great. And even
great. Apparently it's going to be great a third
time,
too.
So who would play Will Smith and who would play Martin Lawrence?
Dwayne is... Will Smith.
Really? You don't want to switch the two?
No. And then
don't fuck with the formula.
Yeah, don't, really?
Stop trying to mess it up. And then they still do cameos.
Oh, okay, they would maybe make cameos. Yeah, so where would they be this time? Like they were, what did they do? They were in Florida, Miami the first time, and then they went to, I'm trying to remember where they went the second time, Cuba or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they were police officers in Cuba.
Well, they were on like the U.S. Embassy or something. We still waiting on you?
I'm good. I got my idea.
All right, your idea.
I want to see a remake of Tommy Boy.
I was going to say that.
So David Spade and Chris Farley. Oh, God, yeah. That's amazing.
And I want Dwayne Johnson to be Chris Farley's character.
Amazing.
Just
yeah.
Putting on the suit, you know. Big man in a little man's coat.
That guy in a little... Oh, my yep. God. That's so amazing. Kevin Hart playing the straight-laced
exactly.
guy.
Yep. Room service! Housekeeping!
Just to see Kevin Hart in the car saying, so, morons here on Kevin Hart. And then, like,
morons here.
And then we're...
I think that would be fantastic. To watch Kevin Smith at the car, the explosion... Setting it on fire in the model car.
Oh, there's so many good scenes in that.
Put the dead deer in the car. Oh, so many good things.
And Kevin Hart hitting Dwayne with the big wood thing. Yeah.
Right. It hurts right here.
Not so much here.
Or here, but right
and
here.
That means,
or when the car
that,
door gets ripped off.
Yes.
What'd you do?
And that means Dwayne Johnson's going to have to do that amazing monologue in... trying to sell the brake pads. You're driving along. Meanwhile, guy's puking his guts out. Oh, to see Dwayne Johnson do that monologue.
It'd be so good.
And so who would play the Brian Dennehy, the Chris Farley's dad, or Rob Lowe in that movie?
I think Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams, absolutely.
Rob Lowe looks exactly the same.
Yes, he does.
I was just about to say that.
He can play himself.
Just let Rob Lowe be Rob Lowe. But Billy Dee Williams as the dad.
Yes, who dies on stage.
You need the singing. Dance scene between Wayne yes. Johnson and Billy Dee Williams.
Oh my gosh! How amazing would that movie be, Tommy Boy? I feel like I gotta get in touch with these guys and be like, okay, we're doing a segment. Can we like fully produce like a 5-minute, 3-minute trailer of these movies with you guys in it? Because, oh God, how good would that be?
That would be incredible.
Like the housekeeping?
Yeah.
Housekeeping?
Oh, good. You want me to suck your dick?
Oh, my God. I want to see that. So I went dramatic with it. I went scent of a woman.
Okay.
Kevin
Hart playing Chris O'Donnell's character?
Yes, and The Rock will play the blind Al Pacino character. Absolutely.
That is ridiculous.
You don't think that would be a good?
I think that would be funny. It's ridiculous.
That's part of it, though.
I can't see that being a real movie. I can see that being a 5-minute joke trailer.
To see, like, the dance scene and everything? Oh, my goodness. That would be fun.
I don't know. I don't know if I could buy The Rock being as serious as Pacino was in that movie.
He's serious in all of his movies.
But it's a very non-serious way of being serious.
Why so serious? Oh, well, Tommy Boy won that one. I really want to see
that. We haven't heard from Megan.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Jeremy yet.
I'm going to go Elf.
Elf?
Elf.
Oh, you're keeping it holiday style.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Kevin Hart would be Zooey Deschanel's character.
No, I was going to have Rock is Elf, and then Kevin Hart, instead of... being his long lost dad is like his long lost brother. So they're actually.
Who's like the real serious guy?
They're related.
Okay.
Yep. So Christmas Tommy Boy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, all right. I like this. That, yeah.
Where
I like
you just have the Rock running around like in the elf outfit, you know, eating all the sugar.
I really like this segment.
I love this creative segment.
It's a good segment.
It is a good one.
Might be one of the only truly original things we've done on this podcast.
Very true. And I think next time Jeremy and I came up with a good segment last night.
Yeah, Batmobiles.
Yeah, so next week we're going to dissect and discuss the best and the worst of Batmobiles. And,
okay.
Maybe what we want to see for future Batman Batmobiles.
Sweet.
What we like in a Batmobile.
Yes. I do like this.
Power steering for sure.
Steering for sure.
Seatbelts.
Seatbelts.
Guns,
rear
rockets.
View camera.
So yeah, seat warmers. Yeah.
Gotta have a good cup holder.
Oh, you must.
For the bat mug.
All righty. Any last remarks? This is our final one together.
We're doing one more.
Oh, we're doing one more. Yeah. I guess on Monday. That's right. All right.
Not
good.
Done yet.
Good. We're not done yet. We're not
and
dead
we're not
yet.
Even done after that.
Yes, exactly. We're still going to be here. But that's Mediocrity. We're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter under Mediocrity, _Ocrity.
And special guest, thanks to our special guest, Chris.
Chris. Yeah. Christopher.
Christopher, yeah.
Christopher. Okay, so before we go, because I don't know when you are going to be on this podcast again, tell me your 3 favorite movies and your 3 favorite songs of all time.
The movies, I mean, I always joke about Ace Ventura, but I did love that movie.
That's a different category for you.
Favorite, I mean, that's a given. Everybody's favorite. I'd say, I mean, is this, everybody always says this. I mean, my answer is going to be so classic.
That's fine.
But so Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
And Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Which both were the same year.
Yeah.
But both, two of my all-time favorites. I mean, I say Forrest Gump is just like,
I remember.
I love that movie.
It was on TV the other day. I was just, and it's hard. I mean, because you know how it is, like a movie will come out and you'll be like, that's my new favorite movie. You know? But I mean, I just give anything Christopher Nolan does. Like, I just feel like it's like every time I watch something, like I remember when I first saw The Prestige.
Oh man,
why is this so?
This
good,
is a very
you know?
Underrated movie too.
Know,
it's so good.
It's amazing. It's just like, it's like every time I watch something that he does, and then another one comes out, then another one comes out. And I'm like, I feel like these are all my exception. Okay, now this, you know, it's like.
You like Interstellar? Do you like that one?
I liked that one. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
So, but I mean, I still liked Inception a little bit more, you know.
Right.
But I still liked it. You know, I still when it was over, I was like, that's one of my new favorite movies.
Yeah.
You know, so just. Because I always say that after his movies, I'm like, I just give him just he gets the award in general, you know? I'm like, okay. I just like what he does, you know? Because I always like good writing. I'm the same way with songs. It's like, I always go back to songwriting 101. It's just good writing, you know? Some of the best songs out there, they're not necessarily the most complex. They're just really well written. Great melody, great lyric, you know, that goes a long way. So that for me is
like our theme song.
Yes, like our theme song.
It's Darkwing Duck, right?
Yes, it is.
But you know, it's just like Chris, it's just great writing, you know? And so, but yeah, so, and for, you said albums or songs?
Songs or albums, you can tell.
Well, songs, I mean, I wanted to learn how to play piano because I heard Stevie Wonder's Ribbon in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And so to this day, it's always been one of my favorite songs of all time. This will be another one you'll be like, what? But I Can't Make You Love Me, Bonnie Raitt.
No, I know you like Bonnie Raitt.
That's song.
Great song. Bruce Hornsby on the piano, and then you had basically the guys in Toto
on
the rest.
That whole album was Taking My Time, right? That album? That's such a great album.
Yeah, I mean, you had Jeff Beccaro on drums. I mean, just insane musicianship on that whole record, but on that track, I mean, you put Bruce Hornsby on my way to Dallas. Yesterday I was watching Bruce Hornsby live concert, and I'm just like, why is he he's my favorite pianist out there. I mean, he just, his feel and his chord, his voice and stuff, and it's just insane. And probably lastly, it's hard, this probably go Johnny B. Good
with Chuck Berry,
because that was for me a kind of a pivotal moment when I was a kid. We said,
as played by Michael J. Fox on Back to
No, that was one that I actually just, because I had a Chuck Berry record. I had that tape when I was a kid, and I used to listen to that song. Was my favorite song, and I used to grab my guitar and act like my mom would film me, and I would think I was playing that. And I'm like, go, Johnny, go. I mean, I sang it every single day, and so it was more like that's what really got me picking up a play guitar and singing. It was like that was the start, you know. So that one for me just always holds this little place in my heart. It's like, I should probably learn that song one day.
And it's awesome that he's coming out with a new album next year. Yeah.
I did not know this. I played out with he plays in St. Louis at that place. I've played there once. He does. Just like,
it's like the
Chuck
first
Berry.
Time in like 30,
can he still
40
do the
years?
Duck walk?
God, he might break himself.
Don't try it.
Yeah, you're going to kill yourself. That would be awesome if he still did.
If he does, I'm sure it's not quite as
it's
flexible.
It's weird to do in a wheelchair.
Breath, it was worth it.
It was worth it.
If you're going to go out on a duck walk.
Yeah, was it worth it?
Totally.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you for coming. And we're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Come subscribe and rate us. We are Mediocrity. We are going to keep going. We're going to get to episode 100 sooner than later. Oh my gosh.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to be good.
Well, I'm glad we're all here. Mediocrity.